to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Diet, no smoking, exercise, and limiting alcohol are some of the healthy choices the Mayo Clinic advises for men looking to improve their health. Those are also among the solutions listed by the American Health Association for reducing cardiovascular disease, which is the leading cause of death for Native men. Coming up in the next hour, some reminders and some updates for Native men on improving their health. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick, in for Antonia Gonzalez. The number of American Indian and Alaska Native people who have died during the coronavirus pandemic may never be known. A group of Native journalists found that health privacy laws and breakdowns in local, state, federal, and tribal data reporting systems contributed. As Christine Trudeau reports, this concerns tribal health advocates, who say the lack of data impacts resources for tribal communities.
Reporters with the Indigenous Investigative Collective made multiple public records requests for death records in an effort to find a reliable fatality count. Those requests were rejected, citing privacy. The collective has found data problems exist nationwide. As of June 2nd, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that more than 6,500 American Indians and Alaska Natives have died from COVID-19, the highest rate of any ethnic group in the U.S. That estimate likely falls far short of the actual death toll. The Urban Indian Health Institute in Seattle, Washington, is one of 12 nationally recognized tribal epidemiology centers. Director Abigail Echohawk.
Even though right now we're showing as having some of the highest death rate, it's a gross undercount.
That undercount leaves researchers and epidemiologists completely in the dark when creating practices and policies to deal with future pandemics. Tracking Indigenous COVID-19 patients accurately would involve the entire health system, including the Indian Health Service, tribal facilities, urban Indian health programs, private clinics, and other non-IHS facilities. Elizabeth Fowler, acting IHS director, says they're not tracking COVID-19 deaths because they want to avoid underreporting.
We rely and use the information that's reported by CDC.
That lack of good information can make things difficult for tribal nations. Carolyn Angus Hornbuckle with the National Indian Health Board says nations need real-time accurate data to protect their citizens.
We are not capturing all of the impacts, and we are not capturing all of the deaths for American Indians and Alaska Natives. The true picture is actually worse than what the data tells us.
For Echohawk, the omission of data on Native communities contributes to the elimination of Native people in the public eye, and it aids the federal government in abandoning treaty laws and trust responsibilities. I'm Christine Trudeau.
This story is produced by the Indigenous Investigative Collective, a project of the Native American Journalists Association. A new poll finds a majority of Canadians blame the Catholic Church for the abuses and deaths of children at residential schools. The Nelson Star reported the survey by the Association for Canadian Studies was conducted about a week after ground-penetrating radar found what's believed to be the remains of 215 children at a former residential school in Kamloops, British Columbia. More than 150,000 First Nations, Métis, and Inuit children were forced into these schools, which were government-funded and often operated by the church. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's Catholic, asked Pope Francis to consider an apology during a 2017 Vatican visit. CTV News reports a petition on change.org has garnered over 3,500 signatures demanding the church apologize and pay $20 million in restitution to survivors of residential schools. It also calls for the church to pay for reinterment of the bodies found in British Columbia and for church records on the schools to be open to Indigenous communities. Also, the BBC reported at Ryerson University in Toronto this week, protesters toppled a statue of Egerton Ryerson, the man considered the architect of the residential school system, and there are calls to change the name of the university. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Support by the Sanoski Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Ashirhutui. Native men have a shorter lifespan than Native women, according to census data and the Indian Health Service. One factor contributing to the statistic from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is that Native men experience higher rates of cancer and unintentional injuries compared to Native women. Like all men, health experts say Native men don't visit their doctors as regularly as they should. That's why during Men's Health Month, men are encouraged to get themselves checked and screened for things like prostate and colon cancer. In this hour, we'll talk about the importance of regular health checkups for men and men's health issues like prostate cancer and screening, reproductive health, and testosterone. And we'll also talk about preventative health like exercise and establishing a healthy diet and mindset. And you are also welcome to join the discussion. As a Native man, how healthy do you stay? What healthcare barriers do you face? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today we're going to start off in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With us on the line is Dr. Anthony Flegg, and he is a physician with the University of New Mexico, Sandia Pueblo, and the Native Health Initiative. It is our pleasure to have him here. Dr. Flegg, thank you for joining us today here on Native America Calling.
It is my pleasure to be here, and what a great way to kind of celebrate and honor Men's Health Month.
It is. And let's talk about the kind of health that goes on with our male population. And Dr. Flegg, anything you want to start about men's health and why we need awareness moments like this to encourage men to take hold of their health?
You know, as a family physician, I very much see the way that men and fathers and families kind of come to me, and I think the hardest thing sometimes can be just actually the initial making a visit with a doctor, and particularly men that are worried about what they might hear or what the labs might show. I think the kind of natural tendency might be then to avoid any sort of interaction with the healthcare system. I think most men don't, or many men, Native men, maybe in particular, just don't feel super comfortable in healthcare settings. Of course, there's a lot of historical reasons for that in our Indigenous communities, that they haven't always been the places of comfort and care, and they've represented, you know, not high quality care or not even existent care. So there's a lot of reason why there also might be specific hesitancy for our Native American men. I think the thing I'd like to say, Tara, to our listeners today is that I always think about wellness, and I think about prevention. And so if someone is coming in and, let's say, every few years getting labs done and getting their blood pressure checked, there's a lot that, even if we found something that's not quite right, liver labs that are abnormal or high blood pressure, there's a lot that we can do to prevent that from progressing into something that really ever affects that man's life, his family's life, how he grows up with his children and grandchildren. And vice versa, if that thing, such as high blood pressure, goes on for years and years and starts to affect the kidneys, the eyes, the heart, and, you know, it's when he passes out at work that he's taken to the emergency room, and we find out, gosh, you know, this brother's now dealing with kidney damage from years and years of high blood pressure that he never knew about and that was never really treated. It's a much harder situation at that point to really be able to do as much to restore health.
And so, Dr. Flake, what is your message to men today?
My message for our dads, our brothers out there, young and old, is I am a physician, but I really, Tara, don't center health in a doctor's office or in hospitals. First and foremost, I would say is take care of your body. You know, take care of your body on a daily basis, from the simplest thing of when you get up and put that prayer and intention toward the day. That right there is medicine. That's medicine that no pharmacy can offer. Take care similarly in how you what you put into your body, food, but also, you know, other things that we know are harmful, smoking, alcohol, drugs, etc. Really take just that kind of sense of the sacredness of the body. Get outside and move, and, you know, not only the spiritual aspects of just greeting whatever that day is, windy, dusty, dry, rainy, hot, cold, you know, get out and move. And I'm a big believer that movement is our best medicine, along with our prayers, our ceremonies, our traditional ways, and the food that we put in our body. Beyond all that, if you're a gentleman out there and you say, gosh, I can't even remember the last time I saw a doctor, that's probably a good sign that, you know, making an appointment in your local clinic to have a routine checkup, and especially as we emerge from COVID, most clinics are offering in-person visits where we can check blood pressures again and things that were much harder in the last year on a lot of telehealth visits. Go in and get checked and maybe get a set of labs and really think of health more preventatively and not, gosh, I'm just going to wait here until things get bad enough that, you know, I'm forced to go into the hospital or the emergency room, because that's not the best way for any of us, men or women, to take care of our health.
Thank you for that. Dr. Anthony Flagg is here with us the full hour. If there's anything you'd like to share with him, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And what are your thoughts getting all of these reminders? You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if there are barriers that you face to living a healthy life as a Native man, you can give us a ring. Share your thoughts at 1-800-996-2848. And Dr. Flagg, once somebody does beef up their routine, how often should they be getting checkups?
That's a great question. I don't think that our traditional, and I don't mean Native traditional, but medicine in the past has said, you know, go in every year and make sure that you have labs done every year. I don't think for healthy men and women that we need to do blood tests, for instance, more than every 3 to 5 years. If you're on medication for, say, blood pressure or thyroid or other conditions, trying to get in, you know, at least every year to see a physician is a good idea. You know, a lot of times what I do as a doc, I'm hoping that visit is a door into the much wider realm of who I can help this person. I may, for instance, in a visit, refer a gentleman to a traditional healer. I may refer them to an acupuncturist. I may refer them for, you know, long-term neck pain that's bugging them, not to any surgeon or more aggressive treatment, but I may say, I want you to go start getting massage, or I want you to work with physical therapy. So the visit with the physician can also be to address things that maybe are affecting your quality of life, and that you know, maybe are scared going in. I'll use a very common example, knee pain. gosh, I don't want to go see the doctor. He may suggest that I have knee surgery. I don't want knee surgery. Yeah, but you know, maybe the doctor will listen to you and hear that, and they should listen to you, that you don't want surgery. Okay, let's think of some other, maybe physical therapy, maybe some simple medicines, even something that you might rub right on that knee itself that could really significantly improve your quality of life and allow you to dance traditionally again for the first time without significant knee pain in 10 years, or play softball again, or have less pain farming, et cetera. So that's, I think, the really bigger window of going in to see someone and just have them as a consultant on helping think of what are some options for a given thing that may be going on. And I do think men tend to ignore things until, at least stereotypically, I'll own as part of that group, we tend to wait until things are really bad. Women, on the other hand, I think tend to put things off because they're busy taking care of everyone around them. But for men, it's, I'll wait until this, you know, pain is a 10 out of 10 and waking me up at night. And again, that's not usually the best way, whether it's knee pain or whether it's the other kind of more preventive things, to get care. Your body and you are important enough to have medical care and a medical team that supports you long before things get into more crisis level.
You know, we often hear that prevention is key. And when you, and speaking specifically to our Native audience, Native men, and thinking about that, when you hear that prevention is key, if you go in and check things when they're first starting to bother you, before they get worse, what are your thoughts when you hear all of this? It's also a discussion for you, too, to just kind of share the kind of information you're given and how you receive it, how you perceive it. How does all of that fit in to your daily life, to your role in your Indigenous community? I want to hear from you. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. And if you need to call in anonymously, you can. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And we know that there are different kind of health advocates, even the ones we call other people. What's keeping your Native men, some thoughts, here's to getting them checkups. What is it? Need some advice? Call in now. 1-800-996-2848 number. Definitely look for today. Oh, we'll keep them open. Two Native chefs are teaming up with physicians to compile a healthy Indigenous diet. The idea is to get back to the basics with grains, fruits, and vegetables that have traditionally been available. We'll hear about the Native Power Plate and ways to improve health through traditional food. That's on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are talking about Native men's health. And there is still time to join our conversation. How are you encouraging the men in your life to get regular health checkups? Can you do it? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. Here with us today is Dr. Anthony Flegg, who will be with us the full hour. And you know what? Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hi to Terrell, who is in Laguna Pueblo. Thank you for giving us a ring, Tyrell, and go ahead and introduce yourself and share your thoughts.
Hello, my name is Tyrell Conico, and I am from Laguna Pueblo. And, you know, my thoughts on this topic, it really hits home just because, you know, I've grew up on the reservation since I was a little kid. And I just graduated not too long ago in 2019 from Colorado State University. And I received my bachelor's in health and exercise science with a sports medicine concentration. So I know, you know, back here in Laguna, you know, a lot of the men take part in the traditional ceremonies and, you know, the cultural aspect of, you know, our way of living. So for me, this really hits home just because, you know, there's a lot of older men, you know, who have health complications and, you know, they really didn't consider, you know, looking at their health or, you know, exercising or, you know, really considering the way they intake food and what they put in their body. So, you know, they're at that point now where, you know, it's a life-changing thing. So, you know, they're really looking at health as important, an important thing right now and, you know, exercising and moving. And, you know, I really appreciate that just because, you know, a lot of the older men have, you know, the traditional knowledge and the culture instilled in them. And, you know, we want them around as long as possible, especially because they know the language, you know, very fluently because they grew up, you know, their parents, their grandparents talk to them in, you know, our traditional language. So, you know, that's important. To have them around as long as they can, but not only the older generation, but, you know, the younger generation as well. You know, we need to do our part in, you know, really considering our health as an important aspect in our lives, you know, so we can take in that knowledge and we can learn from, you know, the older men. And, you know, at a younger age, you have, you know, a lot of pride or, you know, stubbornness. So, you know, just putting that aside and focusing on, you know, going to get seen, going to get checked, not when something is really bad, but, you know, on a regular basis. Make sure your body is, you know, up to par. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on this, you know, whole topic. But
all right. Well, Tyrell, thank you for giving us a ring. See, it's that easy. Share your thoughts. Dial in 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We now go to Melvin, who is in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Well, good morning.
Good day to you.
About men's health, you know, I'm a diabetic. I've lost a foot, one whole foot, and half another one. And this was because of all the sugar, salt, you know, greasy food. You know, if you stay away from those, many of the men will get healthier. We need to exercise more, like in our community, you know, a lot of obesity, which contributes to major health problems. You know, I hope some of these young guys can, you know, exercise more, play ball more or something. But salt, sugar, all these foods, and I was young, I just consumed a lot. I mean, that's why I'm in poor health today. Not only amputee, but I'm on dialysis and I can't see. This is all because of salt, sugar, and my lifestyle of eating and even consuming alcohol. You know, we need to stay away from all those. So I hope some of the men listening, please stay away from those so you can be healthy.
Well, Melvin, thank you for giving it to us straight up. I really appreciate every time that you share with us, and we do. We learn more about your life, and we know you are one of our dedicated elders in this radio atmosphere. Thank you for giving us a ring, Melvin. Good thoughts to you there in Santee, Nebraska. Join us, too, at 1-800-996-2848 is the number. I want to turn back to Dr. Anthony Flagg. Heeding the warnings from Melvin, really important, including diet. And Dr. Flagg, anything you want to share, just hearing from Melvin and his cautions?
I appreciate Melvin. I'm a listener to the show, so I know your voice well. I appreciate you sharing. You know, what you did right there is actually a really great example for us all to just think about. You shared very honestly and really humbly about decisions that you wish maybe you had made differently. And, you know, hopefully that reached some airwaves, not in just in Nebraska, but in Alaska and Maine and here in New Mexico today, to do that in our families, you know, when we're gathered around as we get back together, and to really be willing to teach and share from our struggles, our addictions, places where we wish we had turned left and instead turned right, and how that had a real consequence for our health. And then I think of Tyrell, who's actually a mentee and protege of mine, has done some great work recently with the Native Health Initiative, getting families moving. You know, and Tyrell says it as a young father and a young man from a slightly different perspective. But as he was talking, Tara, what I thought of is just a huge difference between our indigenous communities and worldview is that your health and everything that you have is really not owned by you. It's owned, gifted, you know, on loan, you might say, from Creator above, but it's also owned by all the people around you who deserve your life to be fulfilled and you to be, you know, able to get to that older age where you're teaching songs and prayers. And if that never happens because your life is cut short, and again, maybe because of decisions that you have made, and maybe because of, to a lesser degree, avoiding kind of anything to do with the medical system, then that's something that I don't think the non-Indigenous world would see as failing your community. But I think the way Indigenous wisdom is that it's not just individualistic. I want this health just for myself, or just so I can look in the mirror. It's something that is more. I'm doing it for those generations that I want to see. Even as a young person listening, you know, think about how you want to be when you're 60 and 7. When you're a Melvin in your community, we want you still here. We want you here with us, and we want you, secondly, to be in good enough health that you can share. You can get out to the field each spring and teach a prayerful way of planting, and not just say from a you know, chair in the house because you're not able to get out there how it's to be done. So those are my few thoughts.
And in terms of diet, what are your recommendations? And thinking of what, you know, the men in our family, in our lives, what they eat. You know, I think of an elder male in my own family, and, you know, we say salad, and I don't want to eat rabbit food is the response we get. Your thoughts, Dr. Flagg?
Yeah, the rabbit food. You know, here in Sandia Pueblo, I'll give a quick example. We wanted to really jumpstart people thinking again about the food that we eat. And so we were very careful not to use the word vegan, which had, you know, connotations that are scary and very much not familiar to Native communities. We just said, let's for 3 weeks try a plant-based diet, and let's do this together. We brought in the communal part. We had meals, really tasty meals. I mean, you quickly realize how talented our chefs and women are in cooking up tasty things, regardless of the ingredients. But one other interesting thing that started to come out there was, you know, stories that people kind of mentioned the rabbit food thing, and, you know, this idea that Indians are meat eaters. They said, well, for us elders, we go back far enough that we remember meat as a very once in a while thing. It was not, we weren't proudly saying we're carnivores when I grew up. But meat was a prized kind of thing, and in some places it has a you know, kind of connotation of, well, now that we can, if we can afford meat, that, you know, it's something we kind of should eat because of that. But I would simply say, Tara, grow your own food. The second that someone starts to even plant one tomato bush and one plant in that they're actually now connected to the food, very much connected to the food that they're then preparing and eating, it really changes things. Try to grow, even if you're in an urban setting, a little bit of food. Try to get food that is mostly coming from, you know, nature and not from a chemical plant where they mix all the chemicals and try to make it as addicting and appealing to us. Those are not the healthy foods. The foods that can sit on a shelf for 2 years and not go bad, you know, our ancestors would say, that's not real food. You know, food is stuff that comes right from the ground. So that's probably my simplest thing with food is just to try in each of your communities listening to get back to more traditional food, more food that's coming directly from the ground, produce, fruits, vegetables. And third, again, to re-engage your relationship with food as not just something I buy in a package, but something I actually start to grow. And I bet a lot of people listening, Tara, have actually done that just naturally with what the pandemic has done to put us more in our homes, but it's never too late to start.
Thank you for that. And you know what? We're actually going to continue the discussion on bringing more traditional foods into your diet tomorrow. So we hope you'll join us for that. But let's go ahead and take a call right now. We got Gordon in Red Lake, Minnesota, tuned in on KOJB. Gordon, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
All right. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to, I'm 70 years old. I'm a stroke survivor. And I just, after all these talk about the food, I realized that's what did it to me too, with all the sugar, like Melvin was saying. Anyway, I wanted to express my gratitude to all of my people who helped me with my therapy. And no matter what happens to you after this food and everything happens to you, you have to listen to your therapist. You have to. I learned how to walk and everything all over, and I'm functioning just fine today. And when something like that happens to you, only you can save yourself. So just please listen to your helpers, the ones who want to try to help you and get you over this, and put your mind to it. I know it's hard work, and it's very hard work. And now I go give inspirational talks to people who are in the same position I was 15 years ago when I was laying on my back and paralyzed. But you can just, once you get that inside you, you got such a strong inner strength that you can really start helping to heal yourself. And I just wanted to reiterate that. Do it, no matter how hard it is, you can save yourself. And thank you so much for having me on again.
All right, Gordon, good to hear your voice. Good day to you there in Red Lake. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Well, speaking of eating healthy, moving, and also having a good heart and mind, we bring in our next guest, who focuses a lot of his life on all of this. Lauren Anthony is with us today, joining us out of Gallup, New Mexico. He is a community warrior, and he is Dene. Our pleasure to have him here with us. Lauren, thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling.
Thank you to have me on. It's pretty awesome. Thank you.
And Lauren, everything you heard, how much were you nodding your head yes, or thinking about moments where you made life changes and for the better? Anything you want to share? Go ahead, Lauren.
I think a lot of the stuff that was said earlier has been a consistency of maintenance. And a lot of people don't understand that it's not just a one-shot deal that we have to every day work at. Our consistent maintenance of who we are. And for the Dene people, we have a word called Hajo, and Hajo means the balance. And basically, people don't know the full detail of balance. And for me, balance is including your spirituality, your emotional being, your mental being, and physical being. So if you're missing a little bit of any of that, you're not in balance. You're not in Hajo. So you got to consistently maintain Hajo to have that balance in life. And that means eating good, getting physical, making sure you're checking your mentality as well, because with a lot of things going on these days, we have a lot of mental issues, a lot of mental illness, and a lot of things that are overwhelming for us. And sometimes we don't know how to overcome those or battle through them. And because we're not educated on certain things, and realizing like the stuff that we put into our body really helps or lacks us in certain areas of our life. So I really and the inconsistent maintenance and everything that was said before with our callers that have called in. I really appreciate everybody calling in and mentioning these things, because these are signs. These are people saying, hey, this is a heads up. A lot of times people want to get ahead of the game. They want to get cheat codes to life, but they fail to listen to our elders. They fail to listen to people that have been into some really life-changing experiences. So I encourage people to really listen to these gentlemen that have called in to mention about their health issues, dealing with diabetes, dealing with the outcomes of stuff. Because I was in that same boat at one point, and I kind of fell back in that boat a few times too, because that's part of the journey. And my journey has been one of sobriety, one of getting back on track with my physical health, and it all comes back to you in so many good ways. And if people know me personally or just kind of follow me online, they understand like the things that I have to do for my community, the things I have to do for my goals and how that interacts, because I got to keep up with the demand of what's going on out there. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, those things don't come into play. So I think it's really important that we listen to these cheat codes of life that come in to say, hey, you got to be careful. If you do this, this is going to happen, good or bad. And take in every bit of knowledge that we have, and consistent maintenance. I really believe that's important for us.
All right. Well, Lauren, a pleasure to have you here with us on the line. We'll continue after this short break. But again, if you want to join us, we are talking about Native men's health. What would you like to add to the conversation? Maybe you are a health advocate too and have some thoughts, maybe even some programs that have blossomed in your community. You want to tell us about them? Give us a ring. Phone lines are open.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are talking about Native men's health. There is still time to join the conversation. How are you encouraging the men in your life to get regular checkups, to remain healthy, start healthy diets, drop bad habits? Any thoughts you want to share? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And man, when you receive these thoughts or these nudges to get healthier, what's your response? You can share. Maybe there's another message you'd like to receive instead. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Before the break, we welcomed in Lauren Anthony, who is a community warrior. He is Dene from the Navajo Nation. Our pleasure to have him here. And Lauren, just wanted to talk more about getting a mindset to do this and obstacles that are there, or maybe even things that are happening in our communities, lack of access to opportunities, or even just healthy places to exercise. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, pushing beyond all this or coming to terms with what you have in your life and how you can get healthy.
That's a lot. let's see here. Okay. So last year we had the pandemic back in 2020. And one of the biggest things that hit me the hardest personally was the close down of gyms. And when that had happened, that put me in a very low-key couple of days of depression, and I had to eat my own words. I really had to eat all the stuff that I was preaching to people, things that I was showing online, the things that I was telling people, like, to live a good life, to live that positive life, to, you know, persevere to things. I really, really had to, like, digest all of those things that I have said to people in the past. And with the gyms closed, it was kind of indefinite on when it was going to open back up and stuff. And there was just like a really uncertainty of a lot of things. And we didn't know what we were dealing with at that time. So a lot of people didn't want to go anywhere anyway. And so despite, like, I was doing all the, you know, this different mutual aid work and community stuff that we're doing to provide food, water, and firewood throughout the whole pandemic, it was also, you know, that physical side. I needed to work out. I needed to, like, keep my mind in check with those type of things. And I had to reflect on the years prior of when I did have Iron Warriors going consistently. And Iron Warriors was our community-based group workouts that we did for free with people using their own body weight, using calisthenics and high-intensity movement. So I had to go back to that and think about, like, okay, how can I really eat my own words and push through it? So I just started in my backyard. I got some railroad ties, some chains, some digging bars, and whatever I could, big old rocks and stuff. And I just started doing reps with them, you know, holding them, squatting with them, pressing with them, doing everything I can. And then I said, hey, this is making me feel good again. It's kind of not exactly like the gym, but it was also a little bit better because I was reconnecting with being outside and working out in a different sense. And posting my stuff online had led to the involvement with a Men's Health magazine that showcased all of that and showing, like, Indigenous people have ways of working out. And it helped out a lot of people more than I thought it would. And that also inspired me and motivated me to do more. And so it's a really big ripple effect when people don't know you're watching you and you're doing things. And I really feel that's always the key to doing things is, like, being the example, setting the example, setting the bar, and knowing that people out there are supporting you, even though they don't really tell you that all the time. But you do have people that care about you, people that want you to do well. And for me, I don't know everybody, and I will always, with full heart, tell everybody I do care about them, because I do. And people that know my work, people that know what I do, understand that as well. It's not just a lip service and I'm just trying to, you know, pump myself up or pump whatever up I'm doing. It's because I want our people to be strong and resilient and not just say that and hold a fist up in the air and press the keyboard and saying I'm resilient. I want people to get up, get out there, move their body, do certain things that will get them to a certain point, and then try again the next day. And once you start getting that momentum going, you start realizing there's a whole new side of you, or you get reconnected with that old, younger version of yourself as well. And those things are really, really important, because, like, I really came from a background where I didn't realize I was overweight. I had no idea. I came from a heavy metal background, toured a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol. And it wasn't until, like, I had to take a little break, got back on stage, couldn't breathe, couldn't sing. And then I went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, hey, you're fat, basically. And so at that time, I was a couple pounds away from 300 pounds. And that's, like, the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And I just really thought, like, I was in good shape. Nobody ever told me, like, hey, you're fat. Nobody told me, like, hey, you're overweight or you're out of shape. It was a doctor that had to tell me, like, this is what's happening to you. You have high blood pressure. You're going to need high blood pressure meds. And so those type of things that were happening to me were like, okay, I'm not even middle-aged. I'm not even, like, in that phase of my life. And I'm already having these problems. And so when I heard that, that was when I was like, I really need to start working on myself. So one of the things was I needed to get sober. So getting sober was one of the biggest steps I had to do. And everything came into play because I traded one addiction for another, which was lifting weight, getting in shape. And I love it. And I'm still doing it to this day. And I got into bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman competitions. And so now everything I do for the community, it reflects on me, because I'm also a reflection of what I do. You see a lot of people, you know, talking about being out there doing things, but when you see them, you're kind of questionable. But for me, I want people to see me and see that I'm walking that pathway of good health, good life, even through the pandemic, just keeping healthy throughout the whole entire time. And so I encourage that for people to get out there and sure. do good things. And so that's best I can answer.
It's a full life journey. And thank you for sharing some of your health journey with us too. And sometimes even sharing that leads to good conversation, or even makes, you know, people think about, okay, well, Maybe that's something I can do, hearing about that. Maybe if it's encouraged you today, maybe today is going to be the day you start taking control of your own health, and you want to declare that to us, gentlemen, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. I got a caller on the line. We're going to say hi to Shell, who is in Fort Hall, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Shell, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Appreciate you, Almamas, Tara. Good morning, Tara.
Good day to you, Shell.
Yeah, I just turned 68 about 48 hours ago, and yeah, I've been pretty active most of my life. Oh, thank you. Yeah, most of my life have been pretty active. I've been sober for going over 25 years, maybe going to 26 years now, and you know, smoke free and alcohol free, and I've been, you know, I kind of live closer to the mountains, so I was thinking of getting a mountain bike, or, you know, like, I like chili, I like bananas, you know, I like avocados, but, you know, when you get older, you can't eat meat, because you can't eat peanuts, because your teeth are kind of giving out, but, you know, like, you know, to add fun things in your life, you know, like, things you never done before, you know, like, you know, go kayaking or put on a squirrel suit and jump out of an airplane or something like that, you know. You only go around, you know, a few years in your life, you know.
Yeah, and making the best of it, I think, is really important. And Shell, any advice to people who are having a hard time saying, you know, I've been wanting to do that, I'm busy, I sit at a desk all day, have to come home, I got obligations, I don't have time to exercise or do some of this. It costs too much to eat healthy. Any advice to anybody who's seen any of these kind of barriers or even others? Go ahead, Shell.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I still got my 2 feet and my, you know, like my brain is still kicking in pretty good. And, you know, try to not to, you know, stay too much on the couch and watching the, you know, TV, you know, but kind of get out and walk around and take a good breath of fresh air and just move your body, your legs, and even swimming's good, you know?
Yeah, all good motions. Well, good to hear your voice, Shell. Thank you for your call out of Fort Hall, Idaho. And Lauren, just thinking about the many things we should be covering when it comes to getting over obstacles, barriers to good health. Is there anything else you want to add and maybe even encouragement to others who are listening?
I believe that everybody has a calling. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a message and a story that they need to share. And everybody's journey is not the same. But when you do start the journey, there are going to be people that are going to support you. And of course, you're going to have people that are going to doubt your journey. But the thing is like, keep on that track, keep consistent. The more you keep consistent, the more people you may not know that you'll inspire to join in. The people that are kind of doubtful in their mindset, they'll kind of start buying into what you're doing, and you're not really trying to pitch them this lifestyle, but in a way, like, it does rub off on people. So I encourage people to keep trying, keep doing what they can. If you fail, like, if you totally mess up your diet that one day, get right back on the next meal. Just jump right back on it. Don't wait till next week or wait till the next month to start over. Just get started right as soon as you made that little mistake, because those are just little slips in your journey, and that goes for everything as you're doing, because slips happen all the time. The main thing is not to slip and just lay down, because that's not what Native people are about. We're not about laying down. We're about getting back up and rising, and that's the meaning of resilience. So know that myself, I'm a support. I'm the unofficial sponsor for a lot of people, and I'm always here. So if you guys need good words, good encouragement, I never charged anybody for anything dealing with like fitness, diet plans, or even just the community work itself. Like, there's always been a total free fee for everything, and I just encourage people to reach out to me. And I'm on all social media, always, a quick away, if you guys want to say that. But I really appreciate everybody's support. Thank you guys for all your good words out there. I really appreciate all the warriors out there doing what they can. And all my brothers and sisters of the iron, keep on pumping, keep on repping. And we love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Another call on the line. Let's say hi to Roy, who is in Panoma, Minnesota, tuned in online. Hey, Roy, thanks for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Okay, hello. Yeah, Roy Nelson here out of Panoma, P-O-N-E-M-A-H, road.
Oh, okay. Panoma, Minnesota. Thanks.
But anyway, no, I'd just like to contribute where I was listening to the truck driver's radio station, channel 146 on Sirius XM, and the host was trying to get truck drivers to lose, you know, their bellies by stop eating grain, you know, lower the carbs and stuff, or get rid of the carbs. And he never had me convinced. This was spring of 2017 all the way to the middle of June of 2017, when all of a sudden he says over the airwaves, Native Americans were low carb prior to the European invasion. Okay, so I started listening closer. And then in the first week in July, I stopped eating anything that was made out of grain. You know, macaroni, say bread, all breads. You know, spaghetti, anything. If I have a pie, I just eat the fruit. I don't eat the crust. Anyway, I had a DOT physical that September, and the physician, busy typing in medical information, he stops, looks at me, and he goes, what you doing? I says, what are you talking about? And he goes, you lost 15 pounds. I didn't even do anything. I just stopped eating grain. And then as for if you stop and think about it, what did our ancestors 200, 300 years ago, what did they actually eat? You still there?
Yep. And go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what I got to contribute. And that's what I've been doing now for, what, 3 years? I was about 205 pounds. I'm down to about 175 pounds. I do, you know, mess around.
You're about to fit into your junior high pants. And Roy, you know, that's almost a prelude to what we're going to be doing tomorrow, talking about getting some of those things out of your diet and what happens when you get back to your indigenous diet. So I hope you tune in for that too, Roy. You can call in too. And you know, we're hearing a lot of different things on the line today, and we got to start wrapping things up. But if there is more you want to share, if there are programs that are going on, if there's more initiatives that are connected to Native men's health, and you'd like to tell us about it, go ahead and reach out. Our email is comments@nativeamericacalling.com. We're on Twitter at 1-800-99-NATIVE, on Facebook and Instagram too. You can reach out any one of those ways. And as we get ready to wrap things up here, Dr. Flagg, is there anything else you'd like to share about Native men's health, important things, screenings to schedule, anything you want to wrap us up with?
I just want to thank everyone that contributed. Like the last 50 minutes has been very much about wellness. I've heard some inspiring and heartfelt and humbling stories. I haven't heard a whole lot of focus on disease, addiction, the things that, again, you know, the medical system has a role in, but really what I hear is resilient men and representing larger Native communities are women that are really the ones who support us men and actually I think are often the ones who are nudging us to the point that we get bruised and say, yeah, maybe we do need to change something or maybe need to go see a doctor for the first time in some years. I think the single thing that I heard, Tara, is it's never too late. And I'll give everyone just a real brief, nerdy medical example. When someone stops smoking, let's say they smoke for 30 years, you know, 40 cigarettes a day, you know, you would think, gosh, there's no way those lungs recover. If that person says, you know, today, Wednesday is my last day of smoking, by Thursday morning, you can see changes in their lungs. You can see these little things called cilia that are the little hairs that wave and keep dust and viruses and things from affecting us. You can see them paralyzed on Wednesday. And again, after 30 years of smoking, one day of quitting, you can already start to see them start to move again and start to actually look like they're coming alive within 24 hours of quitting. And so that, just as an analogy that if you're stuck right now out there in a place of feeling guilty or embarrassed about where you are and decisions you've made, you know, leave that behind. That's not going to help move you forward. What will is saying, you know, Creator gave me a new day. I'm going to make some big drastic changes. And the beautiful
sure.
thing.
And those changes can save your life. We got to wrap things up. Got to get out of here. But thank you to Dr. Anthony Flagg and Lauren Anthony. I'm Tara Gatewood. Meet us here tomorrow.
Support by the Sioux Trading Post, whose special selection of dried herbs are chosen for superior quality, and many sage, sweetgrass braids, and red willow bark and cedar are wildcrafted. All available at SiouxTrading.com. Wopila. This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination provided by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, which supports this show. Vaccines are now available for everyone 12 and up. Talk with your provider today about protecting your children and family from COVID-19.
Gustash, moich abam nyek amohachi gumapamas chhedim achichiga amohayek kokadam hakki mamakai ma abam nya ambai chus machim. O my Hachichigam healthcare.gov, O Aboy Hagugut, Am Homoko Gigik, Sigur Sikok, Waik, Homoko Gigik Gok, Wattas Homok Jut. Yedob Am Yudhi Maxenners for Medicare, Kich Medicaid Hachika.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.